Hey guys, welcome to Sports Clubs Podcast this week. I unfortunately couldn't make it to the video shoot tonight because of an unfortunate work scheduling. So I'm going to do a podcast just real quick, just giving my views on last week's wild card round and this week's divisional matchups. The first recap we're going to hit is the Jets at the Indianapolis Colts. You have Peyton Manning, who's really come off of, you know, statistically he's come off a really good year, but you think wins-wise and performance-wise, kind of like that, he's come off of kind of a letdown. He hasn't had a lot of people to throw to. He hasn't had a lot of weapons open or healthy on the field, so that's really hindered him. Pretty much a win in the playoffs, what it comes down to is, can you play defense and can you rush the ball? That's the big thing, and the Jets just did that better than Indianapolis. They held the Colts to 16 points. Manning only had one touchdown, and LT had 82 yards of rushing, and Green had 70 yards of rushing. When you can have two people, you know, having that many yards as a running back in the playoffs, that's really big to have that good of a running game. If you can run the ball, play defense in the playoffs, that's the key to success 95% of the time. You know, you have those Saints Seahawks games where it's just a huge blowout and it's just offense, 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 but it's usually a grind and you have to take control of the game and carry the pace. Jets did come away with that one. Nick Folk in the last second field goal, really, to put the Indianapolis Colts down. That was a really good one. Came down to the right end. The next game is the Saints at the Seahawks. The Seahawks, the first losing team ever to make it to the playoffs. They get a home game, which is just ridiculous. A team that won their division but was just horrible. The Saints, the world champions, going in, you know, maybe thought they were an 11-point favorite. They got up by 10 points quickly, but the Seahawks just would never go away. They'd never go away. And then John Lynch had this huge, 67-yard run to put them up by 11 points. I mean, this was just ridiculous. He broke five or six tackles at the line of scrimmage and juked a few people. It was one of the best playoff runs, maybe one of the best runs I've ever seen in the playoffs. But Seattle looked like a very good football team. Matt Hasselbeck came out his first few passes, threw an interception. And then he just came out and was just methodical in his passing. Four touchdowns, one interception. He had 272 yards. He was 22 for 35. And this is Matt Hasselbeck, who has been in the league forever. Like I said with the previous game, defense and rushing wins playoffs games. Well, the defense didn't show up in this game, but the rushing sure did. Marshawn Lynch had 131 yards rushing, and Justin Forsett added a 20. To whereas the New Orleans Saints, I mean, they had Reggie Bush putting up 12 and Jones putting up 59. You can't win playoffs like that. You can't go far in the playoffs. Drew Brees had 404 yards passing and two touchdowns. When you rely on your passing game in the playoffs too much, it doesn't bode well for you. It never has. The next thing we're going to hit is Packers at Eagles. This was a terrific matchup. You know, Mike Vick earlier in the season was just a man possessed. He was going through defenses like a warm knife through butter. He was killing people, but then they figured out where to blitz him, where to put pressure on him. And this Packers defense has just gotten after it the past three games. That 3-4 defense that Dom Capers has there really dials up some really good blitz packages with A.J. Hawk and Matthews and Suggs, and they dial up some really good blitz packages, and it's really hard for an offensive line to defend against them. Vic went to 292 yards and one touchdown, one interception for was passing. He didn't do real good, but the thing that the Packers did really well is they held Vic to 32 yards on the ground, and which a lot of teams have not been able to do is shut Vic down with his feet this year. He's been really good with his arm. He's been more patient, but if you can get to him and rush him. I hear a lot of people saying that Mike Vick's looking more like the Atlanta Mike Vick than the Philadelphia Mike Vick, and you never want to hear him talking about the Atlanta Mike Vick. And once again, I sound like a broken record, but every single matchup you look at, rushing and defense wins games. The Green Bay Packers held the Philadelphia Eagles to 16 points. You know, they had Starks rush for 123 yards. You know, he's not a real great back. He had 23 carries for 123 yards. I think that was only his maybe second game this year where he's gone over 100 rushing yards. But in the playoffs, you rely so heavily on your running backs and your short passing game to manage the clock and your defense to hold the other team. The next game we're going to go over is the Baltimore-Kansas City game, which really wasn't a game that was the understatement of the year. This was just a complete rout. The Ravens controlled this game from the kickoff until the final whistle. It was just a complete dominance. I mean, time of possession. Ravens had the ball 41 minutes. The Kansas City Chiefs had it for 18 minutes. I mean, this was just ridiculous. Castle had 3 interceptions. They just looked horrible. They couldn't get anything done on the ground. They couldn't get anything done on the air. Their defense couldn't stop the Ravens' offense. Flacco was 25 for 34, 265 yards and 2 touchdowns. They had 3 running backs to go over 25 yards, which is always nice. An odd thing about that is Flacco was one of the running backs, or one of the backs, that went over 25 yards. He had 7 carries for 26 yards. McGahee had 44 yards, and Ray Rice had 57 yards, and that's terrific balance in your backfield. All right, now we're going to touch on the games that are coming up this week, all the divisional round games. Atlanta-Green Bay. This is a huge match. It's one of the biggest coin flips that I can think of in recent years. It's really even matchup. They have already played this year. Falcons have already won. It was in the same setting. It was in the Georgia Dome. Falcons had a home game, and they've already beaten the Packers. So this should be a good matchup. One of the big things they got to look at this year is, I believe the Falcons are 19-2 when Michael Turner goes over 100 yards rushing. So when he hits the century mark in any of the rushing categories, He does really, the Falcons do really well. They really rely on the rushing attack from Michael Turner to get things going, to open up things for Matty Ice. Yeah, Tony Gonzalez, Roddy White, Michael Jenkins, Jason Snelling, all coming out of that can catch passes really well. They got a terrific passing game, but it all relies heavily on Michael Turner getting going. In Green Bay, they're just come off of 3 really big wins. Like I said, defense and rushing is huge in playoff games. Green Bay proved last week that they can rush and they can play terrific defense. They haven't had a terrific rushing attack throughout the season, but last week they proved me wrong. Rodgers has overcome, Favre's ghost in Green Bay, and that was probably much the biggest thing he had to do, was overcome, Brett Favre was the Green Bay Packers guy, at least quarterback-wise, and if Aaron Rodgers, got that playoff win last week and possibly can get the playoff win this week, He'll definitely come over Favre's kind of ghost in there. And you have Dom Capers as the Packers defensive coordinator throwing that 3-4 defense out there. He's going to throw different blitz packages at Matt Ryan. The Atlanta offensive line has to be ready for what Clay Matthews and A.J. Hawk and that defensive front throw at him. He's going to have to be ready to do 3 quick passes, and he's going to have to teach the Green Bay Packers to respect his long ball and respect that the Atlanta Falcons can throw long balls to not just Roddy White, but to Michael Jenkins and to Finneran, when he can get down the field. Next matchup we're going to hit is Ravens-Steelers. I think the Steelers have got to take this one. Ben Roethlisberger has won 7 straight games against the Ravens. The only bad thing about the Steelers, the only stat I found kind of bad about the Steelers, they're 2-4 against playoff teams this year, which kind of hurts them, but they did beat Atlanta early in the season. They were at home. It was a very quality win against them. In 16 games, only 3 teams have scored over 20 points in them. In all the regular season, only 3 teams have scored over 20 points against the Steelers. It's pretty much, like I said, rushing and defense is the key to playoff wins. These are 2 extremely, extremely talented rushing defenses. Ravens rank 5th in rush defense, but the Steelers are 1st. I mean, they split the regular season matchup this year, 1-1. The winning that teams that won averaged 15 points a game. The margin of victory was an average 3 points per game. So these are very, very tough matchups. These are very, very tough teams. Hard-nosed teams. They're gonna run the ball, but you gotta take Pittsburgh in this. The line is 3. I take Pittsburgh by 7. Ben Roethlisberger is one of the best fourth quarterbacks of all time. You're going to have to go with the Steelers. I think Ben Roethlisberger is really going to be the X factor in this game. Next matchup we're going to touch on is Seahawks versus Bears. Bears really, just week in and week out, you look at the Bears and you're thinking, there's not that much talent on this team. There's no way they can go far into the playoffs. They won their division. Jay Cutler, the system they've implemented halfway through the season where they give Cutler less time in the pocket. They want to give him short passes, get it out of his arm, don't have him sitting back there thinking too much. Just, you know, quick, instinctive throws has really, really done well for him. They're 7-2 in their last 9 games. They did lose to the Seahawks early in the season, but this is before that Jay Cutler, you know, got that fast-paced offense kind of going where he gets the ball out of his hands really quickly. The Seahawks are riding a load of momentum, but they're just horrific on the road. I mean, the Lynch four set really is going to be the key to this game for the Seahawks if they have any chance. Lynch is going to have to break off another one of those 67-yard runs, which is going to be so tough to do against the Bears defense, who's got, you know, Suggs, and it's got Urlacher, it's got Julius Peppers. I mean, this defense is just terrific. It's got a lot of talent. It flies all over the ball. Really, the only thing that's going for the Seahawks right now is they're on a roll. You know, sometimes with a team that gets a bye in the first round of the playoffs, they're kind of sluggish coming out in the first half, maybe. But the Bears defense, I just don't see any way the Seahawks can put up big numbers in the Bears defense. The Bears defense and the Saints defense are just worlds apart. They're not even the same. The Bears are going to have to roll. They're a 10-point favorite. The Saints were an 11-point favorite last week against the Seahawks. So we see how well that they can judge this, but you would be crazy not to pick the Bears at home with that terrific defense, with Cutler really playing the way he is. The next matchup, next and last matchup we're going to talk about is Jets at Pats. This is huge. There's been a media war going on for the past week between Rex Ryan and Belichick, and Wes Welker now has gotten it yesterday with all of his foot fetish comments and everything. This is a huge matchup. Last time the Pats played the Jets, the Pats just embarrassed them. 45-3, I believe, was the score. It was just embarrassing. Of course, the Jets can join every other NFL team in getting embarrassed by the Patriots this year. The Patriots are on an 8-game win streak, which 4 of the teams they beat in that 8-game span are all playoff teams. In the past, they've outscored their opponents 300-125 this year. That's averaging 38-15 per game. This is ridiculous. This is the NFL, the National Football League, where people get paid to play. I mean, this is your job, is to go out there and stop them, and they're just dominating. You just don't see this dominance. Brady has 11 straight games with no interceptions, and that stretch he has 26 touchdowns. He's had 9 games with over 100 quarterback rating, and I mean, he has just been terrific. In the past, you know, 11 games, he's been amazing. 350 something straight passes without an interception. I mean, this is just unheard of. Brady is on fire this year with really a team has 2 rookie tight ends. Danny Woodhead, who's, you know, a buck 20, he's about 5 foot tall, little white guy out of nowhere. He's putting up 100 all purpose yards. I mean, this team, if you look at their offense, it doesn't have that much talent, but Brady and Belichick just find a way to work it every single year. On the flip side, you get the Jets. They're 9-2 in their last 11 games. Sanchez, in the first meeting against the Patriots, he was phenomenal. He had 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. He went for 220 yards. He had a 124 quarterback rating, and they won. They look terrific. You know, you're thinking at that point, the Jets might be the best team in the AFC. And then the second matchup comes. Belichick knows what's going to happen. Brady knows what's going to happen. That defense knows what's going to happen. Sanchez threw no interceptions. It was the complete opposite. Or touchdowns, excuse me. Sanchez threw no touchdowns. He threw 3 interceptions. He had 164 yards. His QB rating was 27.8. That's Brady Quinn bad. You don't want that as your starting quarterback. You don't want that as your QB rating. They're going to have the Jets, if they're going to have a chance to win this, they're going to have a disciplined defense. Against Tom Brady, he has so many weapons out there, and he's so good at placing the ball where he wants to. He's a terrific game manager. Belichick behind him, telling him, running the plays. He's also an amazing game manager. New England's favored by 9 points. I would not take them that high. I'm going to take the Pats. But it's going to be between the 3 and 6 range for me on the Pats, but I do have to take the Pats on that one. One more thing we need to touch on. I just received a text from one of our correspondents that Cameron Newton will be coming out for the NFL draft this year. And people have, you know, ranked him from all the way from the 5th spot all the way down to, you know, 2nd round spot. So we'll see when the draft hits. We'll have a very special draft show. Well, we're also going to have a huge Super Bowl show. We'll have a big championship show next week. And remember to follow us on Facebook. Sign up for our mobile updates. So every time I update the status of Sports Club on the internet or on Facebook, you'll get it straight sent to your phone as soon as it updates. We've also started a new Twitter account. It's Sports Club NFL on Twitter. We also have, you know, the podcast that we have on here. It's on Podomatic.com. Just look for Sports Club. And we also have, now we've branched out to iTunes. If you want to check us out on iTunes, type in Bryce Sparling. We're working on getting ourselves our own Sports Club iTunes account, so that should be coming here in about a week or two. But thank you for listening. We've reached 100 viewers this week, and that's phenomenal, guys. We couldn't do it without you, the listeners, the viewers, the fans. This wouldn't be taking shape, and we wouldn't even have a, you know, kind of a hobby that we do if it wasn't for you, the listeners. So keep it up. Our next thing is 200 listeners. Tell everybody, you know. Make sure you're getting the word out there that, you know, we got the Sports Club going on, we have the podcast, we have the video, and when we do post it, if you watch the video, share it on your Facebook wall just to get more people, you know, try to watch it and share the podcast out there. But, you know, just try to get the ball rolling. And once again, thank you. We're over 100 viewers. Our next step is 200. Thanks a lot for listening, guys. This has been the Sports Club, and we'll see you next week.